From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to Cairo Nights. I am your host, Jake Skorheim. Thank you guys so much for tuning in tonight and for listening to the show. We have a really great show. I'm really, really excited. I got a ton of A-list guests. It's going to be a blast. Chris Sullivan's going to join us later. Jack and Spike from the Jack and Spike Show are going to join us in just a little bit. We're going to do a council segment and talk about student loan forgiveness, all the things that everybody's talking about. We have a ton of stuff on the show. So thank you guys for listening. It's going to be a fun time.
I'm not a smart man, but I know what love is.
That's right. I do know what love is. All right. Earlier today, here's what else I know. Earlier today, and I'm going to speak about somebody. I'm not going to specify who they are because I don't want to make them feel bad. And quite honestly, I love this person. Not I don't actually love this person, but I do love this person. I mean, like there is close to me as it's not a brother. But it's very, I have a great deal of respect for this person. I have a great deal of admiration for them. I would call them a friend. Here's the thing. Close talkers. Okay. We're going to get into some news in just a minute, but I want to talk about close talking. I had a conversation earlier today with somebody who I don't get the chance to see a ton in person, but our paths crossed today, for just a little bit. Like I'm not usually in the office so early and he's not usually in the office so early. And so it just worked out that way. Anywho, I'm standing there talking to this person and they're talking very, very close. Like in a normal situation, like the only time I'm that close with anybody is my wife or my kids who are like barging in on me when I'm going to the bathroom or something. Like I'm not usually in a situation where I'm talking to somebody this close, but this person was a real close talker. It sounds like a Seinfeld bit and it's really not. I promise you, this is not just something I pulled from Seinfeld. This is something that actually happened to me today. I wasn't sure how to get out of the situation. And so initially what my instinct was to do is like, all right, so this person's standing up. I'm standing up. We greet with a handshake and a hug, you know, kind of one of those like side hugs, you know, where you like pat somebody on the back with one hand. We greet that way. And then I pull back as per usual in a conversation. And then this person doesn't really pull back. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is it. And you know it instantly. You guys know what I'm talking about. When somebody is a close talker, you know it instantly. And I wasn't sure what to do. So what I decided to do is I was like, all right, I'm just like my instinct kicks in. I need to create a tiny barrier between myself and them because I'm so delicate. And so I folded my arms, but then that didn't really work because they just kind of leaned in closer. I don't really even have a good ending to this other than to say like at some point I reached down to my desk and I grabbed a cup of coffee because I thought like, all right, if I hold my cup of coffee out front, I could hold my cup of coffee like really far away from me and then they would have to respect the coffee space. If they're listening right now, you know who you are and I don't think any less of you for being a close talker. I just come from the land where you don't talk that close and I don't fault you in any way. I hope you don't think that I was being odd today or weird. I didn't know how to get out of the situation. We had a nice conversation and then I had to do other stuff. So I said, oh, I got to do other stuff. In reality, I felt like we were talking very, 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 very close. Do you guys ever get in that situation? Has that ever happened to you where you're just like, I am not sure. Was this person not raised around other people? Do they just not understand the distance that has to happen between two adults? I don't know. I thought like, is this we're very, very close. What's going on here? But it was nice. It's nice to see old friends. I think that's the end of this. This is how I can wrap it up. It's really nice to see old friends. And now I'm going to transition over to something else that I really like to see. Here's another thing. You can read this story on MyNorthwest.com right now. Chris Sullivan's got this great story. This one I was excited about. In Bellevue, they're about to complete. Right now, there's something that's about to open in Bellevue. I believe it's opening this weekend. The light rail train service. It doesn't connect yet. It's not going to connect over to Seattle. But on the east side, they have finished this expanse of train rails between Bellevue and Redmond. And it's the starter expanse. So what they're going to do is they're going to go ahead and open it up so that people can start riding the light rail between Bellevue and Redmond. Because like, yeah, right, absolutely. Why wouldn't you want to make that available to folks? And so what they're going to do, what Bellevue, in all of their infinite wisdom, has decided to do. Because Bellevue is kind of, if you're new to the region, Bellevue and Seattle are kind of like sister cities, right? So they're very close to each other. But going to downtown Seattle and going to downtown Bellevue are you might as well be on Neptune and Mars. They're two different planets. It is a way different way of doing a big city. They both have lots of tech money. They both have a lot of people. Seattle is a very specific way, and Bellevue is another specific way. And they're not the same thing. They're very, very different. I don't know how you guys feel about the two cities. Seattle has a lot of great things about it that I really like. There's a lot of things about Seattle that I don't like. Bellevue has a lot of great things about it that I like. There's a couple things about Bellevue that I don't like, which is mainly traffic. They do have a lot of traffic that goes through Bellevue. Seattle also has traffic, but they also have a lot of other stuff that sometimes makes me nervous. And so Bellevue has decided in a very Bellevue way that on this new light rail system, they're going to make sure that the riding experience on the light rail is a positive one and a really good one. And so they have created, the city council in Bellevue has actually created and has gotten the funds to start a completely new unit under the umbrella of the Bellevue Police Department. They've started something now called the Bellevue Light Rail Unit, and it will be dedicated Bellevue police officers whose sole job is to ride on these trains and just to make sure that everything's going as smoothly as it can on these trains and to make sure that everybody knows when you get on a train, when you get on the light rail Bellevue, they're not messing around. And, you know, I'm not thinking that they're out there trying to crack down and arrest people all the time and to make people uncomfortable. What I think they're trying to do is to plant a flag in it being a safe, family-friendly environment where you can ride the train. Now, we have seen some stories. Cairo TV, just about a month ago, they were highlighting a couple of crazy incidents that recently happened on the light rail in Seattle. And this is in the Seattle area, where it is not monitored. I mean, I guess technically it falls under the umbrella of, I believe the Sheriff's Department monitors the light rail system, but the King County Sheriff's Department. But what they don't do is they don't really do much on the light rail. We're going to talk to Chris Sullivan about this in just a few minutes. He's got all the details on this. But I want to play you just a couple of seconds from this story that Cairo TV did just about a month ago about two insane, horrifying incidents that happened on the light rail. And there's just, and as a rider, just imagine when you listen to this, imagine sitting there on one of these trains as a rider, knowing that you can't do anything about it. There was a stabbing, there was a shooting. It's just bad. And just imagine you're sitting on one of those trains, just praying to God that the train stops soon or that you don't get hurt or that you can get off, that you can just get off this little thing you're stuck on. Listen to the story. It's crazy. And then we'll get back to why Bellevue is doing such a good thing.
Riders say that they are particularly concerned because based on the latest court documents, it appears the stabbing was a completely random situation. Now, that victim was stabbed up there on a train last night. He was stabbed in the legs, both of them, and in fact, hurt severely enough that he needed a tourniquet. These violent cases are happening even though Sound Transit has already seriously stepped up security. Just released video shows the moments a deadly shooting unfolded February 25th right on the light rail.
I don't know how you're going to stop it.
Investigators say the suspect and victim got on the train at different...
So these are two stories they're highlighting. One was a stabbing. If my memory serves, there was a guy on the train or on the platform who was acting erratically. And one of the riders tried to get out of the situation. He was just trying to ignore, you know, it's tough to ignore crazy, but he was trying to ignore the guy. He then tried to move away, and this guy had locked in on him, and he had zeroed in on him, and then stabbing starts happening. This guy's stabbed, all these, it's a horrible story. And then the other story that they're detailing is somebody gets bumped on the train. You'll hear about it here in just a second. Somebody gets bumped on the train. Two guys start fighting. They're literally like rolling around on the ground, punching each other. One of them has a gun and finishes the fight.
Different stops and rode for a while. When the victim was getting off at the Pioneer Square stop, the suspect stuck out a foot and tripped him. The victim turned around and the suspect punched him. Video shows them fighting. Then the suspect got out a gun and shot the victim in the head.
I'm kind of scared. I don't want that to happen.
More violence on the light rail Monday night. A stabbing on board near the SeaTac Airport Station. Court documents say a man approached the victim, quote, talking crazy about religion. The victim told him to get away and leave him alone and tried to get up and move. But the suspect pepper sprayed that victim, starting a fight. And then the suspect pulled out a knife and began stabbing the victim repeatedly in the legs. It has some people worried.
We should use public transport, but if it's not safe, who wants to use it then?
Though this frequent light rail rider,
usually about three times a week,
says he feels safe riding. But after hearing about these recent attacks...
If they're more random, that's definitely starting to get more concerning, for sure.
People say they have noticed an uptick in Sound Transit security. In fact, there are now 480 security personnel, double from 2022. A Sound Transit spokesperson said the recent violent cases are, quote, indicative of the problems we're having with violence in the rest of the city. Some riders agree.
Unfortunately, it's kind of the nature of what we live in anymore.
You know, and so, and again, we're highlighting this story that happened, you know, a while back, about a month back, in Seattle, because we're highlighting the positives of what Bellevue is doing. Bellevue is taking a proactive approach. They have created the Bellevue Light Rail Unit. Police officers dedicated to riding these trains and making sure that they do their best to prevent things like this from happening. Because I'll tell you what, as a parent, this is what I care about. I want to make sure that these things are safe for me and my family to get on so that I'm not worried that my kids are going to witness something. I mean, God forbid something horrible happens to one of us. I also don't want them witnessing something horrible. I don't want them seeing something that their little eyes, their precious little hearts shouldn't be seeing that's going to scar them for life. So yeah, right now, would I take my kids on the Link Light Rail through Seattle? Not a chance. I just wouldn't do it. Would I take this starter line in Bellevue? Maybe. Especially if there's going to be police officers there. They are letting everybody know that this is not, I mean, like, this is Bellevue saying, like, we're going to police this differently because it's through our city than Seattle and King County has chosen to police their light rail through their areas where they govern. And I think Bellevue is taking the smart approach here. I have a lot of friends and family who live on the east side, some friends on Mercer Island. That was one of the concerns as these trains start coming over from Seattle. They kind of, you know, people on the east side do things a little bit differently. And that's why they live on the east side. They do them a little bit differently than people expect in Seattle. You heard that guy there in that story who says, yeah, you know, this is just what we've come to expect. We don't have to expect these things. We can expect good things. We can expect people to behave like adults. And when people don't behave like adults and when they behave like criminals, I think we should expect that those people are arrested and that they are kicked off of these public spaces that you and I want to be able to use. I would love, love to be able to use these trains and not have to sit in traffic. I'd love to save on the gas that I have to put into my truck. I would love to help the environment. That sounds great to me too. But am I going to risk my safety and the health of myself and my family members by taking an unsafe train just to save on some gas? Absolutely not. Not a chance. But Bellevue's doing it the right way. And maybe this will empower some other cities like Linwood. It's about to start, you know, their light rail service is going to be starting up soon. Maybe Linwood will say, hey, you know what? We're going to do something like this too. Because if train riders are, you know, really safe and content and feeling good in Bellevue, we want those people to feel safe here in Linwood as well. So we're going to go ahead and do something similar. This would be my recommendation. Like, we all are very comfortable with air marshals riding planes in the sky to make sure that we are all safe from people, from bad actors in a confined area that we can't get out of. How is a train any different? It's not. It's not any different. It's public transit. You're stuck on it. Once it gets going and once those doors shut, you got no way out. So you need somebody there who is your advocate who can make sure that you're safe. And then maybe criminals, like what I'm hoping is like maybe criminals hear these stories, bad actors, people go, hey, you know what? I don't want to be stuck on a train with cops because they're not going to let me be crazy. And when I do something bad, they're going to arrest me and I don't want to get arrested. So let's just avoid the train. That's what I would hope. And so good job, Bellevue. I just want to applaud Bellevue. I think they're doing a great job here. That's wonderful. All right. Really fast. I want to talk about this too. This is a story I'm going to talk about later with Jack and Spike. I'm excited to talk about this. I don't know how they feel about this. I think there's a chance that we might disagree on this, which I think will be interesting and will be fun. But I want to talk with them later about student loan forgiveness. There was a story that was highlighted in the Business Insider, which is just a wonderfully entertaining story to read because it is so crazy to me. So you guys know that recently student loan forgiveness has been a really big thing. We've been talking about it. In fact, the Biden-Harris administration has said that there's going to be a bunch of student loan forgiveness that's going to be happening. Whether or not that ends up happening, that will be for the courts to decide. But eventually, they say, they hope that they're going to be able to pay down a lot of student loan debt for people who have had a tough time paying down their student loans and who've been holding on to this debt for a long time. In some of these cases, they're even suggesting that if you've been paying down your own for a loan for 20 to 25 years, regardless of how much money you make, that you would have your loan forgiven. Now, you could be a doctor. You could be a lawyer. You could be making high six figures. even more. I mean, like, there's no end to how much. There's no ceiling to how much you can make. If you've been paying your loan off for 20 to 25 years faithfully and you still owe a lot of money, then you would have to, your loan could be forgiven, which I don't, I'm just a person who disagrees with that. I think if you took out a loan, you should be paying off your loan. So Business Insider highlighted this guy, which I think is a really fascinating story. His name is Joel Lambden. He is a he went to graduate school. He finished graduate school all the way back in 1998. So he's 49 years old right now. He's not a young man. He has had a lot of outstanding student loan debt for quite a while. Joel studied to be a violinist, to be a musician. Now, when he finished graduate school and he got out into the real world, he quickly realized that it wasn't going to he wasn't going to be able to make ends meet as a musician. As a professional musician, he was hardly making any money. It's a very difficult industry to get into. And so he had all these other bills. You know, you live your normal life as well. And just aside from the student loans, which he had $250,000 of. And so he was having to make life changes. Let's see here. Lambden talked to Business Insider. He says, it was just so that I could subsist, so that I could survive. He's talking about why he put his loans, his student loans, into forbearance. And forbearance, for anybody who's unaware, I had to look this up too. Forbearance was something that happened like during the pandemic. Technically, you didn't have to make payments on your student loans, but interest could still accrue. So at the end of, you know, whenever your forbearance time ends, let's say you had a $250,000 loan, interest has still been climbing every single month, just as it does on normal loans. At the end of your forbearance time, when you have to start paying your loans off again, you might now owe $275,000. And so that was something that he was willing to do because he just couldn't figure out how to make those payments based on what he was making as a musician. He says he didn't want to get another job. He wanted to try to be a musician. He didn't want to get another job. So he just put his loans into forbearance. He says it was just so that I could subsist, so that I could survive. This is what he told Business Insider. He says with the hope that at some point I would be making enough money that I would be able to take the loans out of forbearance and to start paying them down. That's a noble thing to do, obviously. Pay down the money that you owe. You absolutely should. But he soon began to realize that he wouldn't be able to pay these loans down. And he was very not happy about this, like very not happy about it. So they started looking into some other things, him and his wife. They started looking into the education department has this initiative that would allow certain borrowers a one-time account adjustment. And then he woke up one day and he realized on January 1st, he received an email and he was very, very pleased to hear that because of the Biden-Harris administration's student loan forgiveness plan, part of this AidVantage program, his loans had been forgiven, wiped clean, effectively. $249,255 had been wiped clean. Now, this is a violinist. Now, I know this is also an extreme case. Most people who have student loan debt don't have $250,000 of student loan debt. However, he still had his loan forgiven. He says he was just so excited about this, obviously. He was trying to describe to Business Insider what this meant for him. He says, it had started to feel like my fate was being decided for me by the cold hand of finance. Yes, that's what all adults have to go through. So what do you think he's going to do with this money? And again, this is a ridiculous example, but it is out there. And so I thought it would be fun to bring to you guys. What is he going to do with this money? He says now he's so relieved that he doesn't have this money that he owes anymore. It gives him freedom to pursue other things that he's been dreaming about doing for a long time, but he never had the money for, like taking time off work, a sabbatical to study with his meditation teacher in India. It's something that I wouldn't have been able to even consider doing if we had to pay off the student loans. But without them, it's something that I can really seriously consider doing now, he says. And those are the kinds of things that I think really get lost in the monetary side of the conversation about debt relief. I think the monetary side of conversation is a good one. And do you guys think he should have his loans forgiven? I'll leave that up to you. All right, we have a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. Matt, tell him what we got coming.
Coming up on tonight's Cairo Nights, we have Chris Sullivan with the details on the opening of light rail service from Bellevue to Redmond. He's their conduit, and he's glad to do it. Also, the council convenes with Jack Stein and Spike O'Neill with their thoughts on student loan forgiveness. All that, plus the news roundup and more. It's Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I have a very special guest on with me. If you are a regular listener to the show, you probably recognize his voice from the Three Amigos segment that we do every Friday. Also, you would recognize him because he is all over the airwaves here. This is, of course, Chris Sullivan from Seattle's Morning News and just Cairo Radio in general. Chris, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here, and it's not Friday, right?
No, it's not Friday.
So I can't go off after this and start having a couple because I got to work tomorrow, right?
Not yet. No, you still got to work tomorrow. In fact, you got to get up in just a couple hours.
Yeah, that is also very true.
All right. You have a story at MyNorthwest.com. I actually thought, I saw this story and I went, yes, that was my first reaction. I went, this is great news.
Yeah.
I like this. I like to see positive stories. The light rail system is about to open up on the east side.
Correct.
And the people on the east side, they certainly have a way of doing things. So what are they doing over in the light rail on the east side?
Well, first of all, this is what they call the starter line. This was part of ST2 to get from Seattle across Lake Washington through Bellevue and eventually into downtown Redmond. Since they have had issues with getting across the lake, to be nice, but this part is finished, the Sound Transit decided that they're going to start this starter line that basically just goes from Bellevue to Redmond, and service on that starts on Saturday.
Great.
So 6 miles, they call it a starter line. It's the number 2 line is what it's officially called.
And eventually that will connect
up to
everything.
That will connect over I-90, and that will take you from, at that point, you'll be able to go from Linwood across all the way to Redmond via light rail. So this is, they're starting it here. We're about a year, maybe a year plus from getting across the lake. But so the starter line is starting. And so what's funny, as soon as I started telling people about the date, this is coming, immediately social media, hey, welcome to all the drugs and all the fentanyl and all the people from Seattle coming on over to Bellevue. Yeah, look what we're bringing. And I was like, okay, we have nice things? But
those are concerns. And I have a lot of friends and family members. I have a lot of friends and family on Mercer Island.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of friends and family who live on the east side. And they were telling me, they're like, listen, we understand the benefits of a train. We understand it'll make commuting easier, maybe even like cuts down on traffic. Those are all very good things.
Right.
There's also some things about riding trains that can be kind of scary.
Correct.
Which we have seen many times here in locally.
Right,
here in
because
the
of the crime and drug use and things, the less popular parts of riding.
Yeah, random
light rail.
Attacks.
Exactly.
Yes.
And let's face it, Sound Transit, the police, which is run by the transit police, which is run by King County Sheriff's Office, coming through the last 5 or 6 years, they've basically been told to stand down when it comes to policing bad activity on the trains.
Which I think is crazy.
Well, there were some legitimate complaints of profiling and only asking certain races whether they had fares and things. So there were some things that they needed to take care of, but they've gone almost completely hands off. Heck, they don't even ask for fares anymore, really, or make you produce ID or anything. So what Bellevue is doing in advance of this, they're like, you know what? We're not going to do that. We are actually going to create a brand new police unit.
Fantastic.
Called the Bellevue Light Rail Unit, BLU, a sergeant, 4 uniformed officers to start, whose only job it is to be on those trains between Bellevue, inside of Bellevue,
yeah,
and monitor the 6 of the 8 platforms which are in the Bellevue city limits to make sure that riders feel safe, that riders are safe, and if they see crime, to take care of it.
Which means that for the short term on the starter line, which only goes between Bellevue and Redmond, this will be the safest train
probably in our region.
In America.
Well, I don't know about that, but in our region, certainly.
It'll be very, yeah.
And so, but it's the city council, and this came from the city council. They appropriated money. They decided as a city that they wanted to start. And this is the first time this has been done with light rail in our region.
Yeah.
Because, any other, there really aren't a lot of other jurisdictions of which, that aren't Seattle, that are light rail, right? Because it only really goes to just south of the airport, and it only goes to Northgate.
And those were all policed by the sheriffs.
They would be in the city of Seattle. So this is the first time a jurisdiction other than Sound Transit Police is decided to create their own entity that within their borders, they're going to try to, kind of up the security game a little bit. Maybe Linwood in the fall will take a cue from this. Maybe Mount Lake Terrace will take a cue from this along the line and see maybe put a few more uniform folks on there just to make sure people feel safe, because people aren't going to ride it if they don't feel safe.
You know, the thing for me, I'm sure you do the same thing, and most of our listeners do the same thing. if you have kids, you kind of see the world through the lens of protecting your kids.
Completely.
And so I love the idea, and it makes total sense it would be on the east side. I love the idea of them being proactive and saying, hey, you know what? When you get on an airplane, you have an air marshal. You don't know who that air marshal is, but we want to make sure that you're safe on an airplane. So we're going to have somebody up there riding with you in case the worst happens, and then you have an advocate on your side. I hope that these police officers, these new Bellevue light rail units,
the blue unit,
I hope they never have anything to do. That would be the best case scenario. But I'll tell you what, we did a story on the show about a month ago or so. Cairo TV had highlighted a couple of, and I think MyNorthwest.com also, we covered it well here too. There was a couple of random attacks that
on the platforms.
On the platforms, but not just on the platforms, also on the train.
On the train, that's right.
Do you remember the homicide on the train?
Yeah, just a random, yeah, oh yeah.
There was a stabbing that was horrible.
The pictures of that, yeah.
It was just awful. The guy ended up, I can't even describe, grisly details. There was another fight that broke out on one of these planes, or on one of these trains around that same time that ended up with one of the two guys pulling out a gun and shooting the other one in the head. If you're sitting on that train and you have no way to protect yourself, you also have no way to get off. You're in a confined space, the doors are shut, you're moving. There's nothing you can do. I love the idea that there's a police officer there that the passengers know. There's a police officer there just in case.
Yeah, and they're uniformed. They're going to be visible,
yep.
Especially early on. And, you know, they're also there for, you know, for if you see something, you can, there's someone you can approach and say, hey, you know, I saw something last station back. Maybe you might want to check that out to allow them to do their job. So I think it's a great precedent to set that as light rail is expanding into different areas around our region, that, you know, there some local jurisdictions are going, hey, let us do our part to try to help keep our community safe. You know, if you guys don't want to do that in Seattle, and, you know, that's fine, or eventually down into Federal Way, who knows? But here's an idea. It's happening. We'll see how it works. But this is
also
what they've done, and I think it's a really good idea.
I think it's a good idea, too. Also, from a, you know, just like a community relations standpoint, you know, Bellevue is putting these officers on there. They're going to be riding the trains with these people. I'm sure they're going to be smiling at the kids. They're going to be friendly. If somebody has a question about where to get off or what stop to get off at, they're probably going to know the line pretty well, and they're going to be able to answer those questions.
Yep.
And I just think it's a nice, you know, a nice thing that they're doing. I'm happy about this.
And what's interesting is if you go to MyNorthwest.com, the front page or the story, the picture that goes along with my story, Bellevue PD is way out in front of this in terms of, that's a picture from them. Because they had a ride-along this week, and there are a couple of officers like, hey, you know, looking like superheroes, like, check us out.
Yeah.
You know, they're not hiding the fact that they're putting people, they're actually celebrating this out in front. They're like, hey, check, here's officer so-and-so standing by the train.
You know what that does for the public? What that does is it tells the public, we're planting a flag, and this is going to be a friendly, safe thing for you guys to do and to use. And if the goal is that these trains get used, so we cut down and we save the environment, we cut down on traffic, you want people riding those trains.
You need to have people riding those trains.
You need people on those trains.
No, I mean, seriously.
You do.
For Sound Transit to have any impact, and Jake, you were probably here the first time when I started telling you this, when you were just a wee guy, that it's not going to make a difference.
When I was a wee 27-year-old.
It's not going to make a difference until it goes somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, going up and down I-5 doesn't go anywhere. Getting to Linwood, that'll make a difference.
Totally.
Getting across the lake,
yeah,
that's a game changer. It may not reduce congestion, but it provides another option another real part of our region. It just cuts us in half.
Being able to get in on the train in Bellevue or on the train in Linwood and get down to the airport and never have to get in your car or pay for parking.
Win-win.
Win-win.
Yeah.
But the trains have to be safe.
Correct.
So I'm glad that they're taking a proactive approach. And, you know, hopefully these trains run a long time and are very safe.
And a big game, Nate Connors, who just got off the air, just had his first ride on the train today.
Nice.
So, it's exciting. And, you know, the big ribbon cuttings, there's a whole bunch of events. If you wanted to go there on Saturday and check it out, have a little fun, they're going to have little events at each of the 8 stations. I mean, it might be a fun day to take the kids to ride the train just for fun.
It's and like a Thomas the Tank Engine.
And then just do some fun stuff at each station.
It.
But, yeah.
Good job, WPD.
BPD will be there to make sure that your ride is as safe as it can be.
Very cool. All right, Chris Sullivan, thanks for coming on, man.
Anytime. Time to go to bed.
Go to sleep. Yeah. You got to get up in 6 hours.
Yeah, I do.
All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Jake Skorheim. All right, I want to talk a little bit about politics. Obviously, it's getting to that crazy time of this political cycle. November is looming. Everybody's nervous. People are saying funny things, so I want to highlight some of those funny things. Here's something about politics that I want to talk about really, really quick, and then we'll get into politics. I assumed when I was a kid that politicians, because they were old, knew what they were doing or were adults. What I didn't realize is that politics is just high school continued. It's all tit for tat. They're all really petty and they're, you know, just call each other names. It's hilarious. And so let's highlight some of that. But yeah, politics, it's crazy.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
All right, Chris Christie was speaking at the Institute of Politics, which is a real place with a very silly name, which doesn't sound like it means anything. I imagine it means that it's an institute that studies politics. And he was talking about Donald Trump. They were talking about all of Trump's trials, how he is looking on camera right now. And Chris Christie said that he thinks that Trump doesn't look very good.
A criminal trial is a really awful thing to go through. And if you look at Trump physically right now, he looks terrible.
Apparently, he doesn't like the way that Trump's body looks.
Oh, I am so sorry that Phyllis hates you and hates your body.
So I was wondering, when I heard this clip, I was wondering if this was a little bit of payback, because back in 2023, Trump was in New Hampshire and he was talking and he was giving a speech. And this is when Chris Christie was still part of the race. Trump was giving this speech and somebody in the crowd shouts out something, you know, very unflattering about Chris Christie. And then Trump really, really makes hay out of it and starts repeating it and saying, no, 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 we can't say this. I'll just play you the clip. But I'm wondering if maybe this is Chris Christie insulting Trump on his body and how he looks physically is payback for this clip right here.
No, no, Christie's he's eating right now. He can't be bothered. Sir, please do not call him a fat pig. That's very disrespectful. Don't call him. See, I'm trying to be nice. Don't call him a fat pig. You can't do that. You can't do that. So now, because you're not allowed to do that, and therefore we're not going to do it, okay? We want to be very civil, right?
Yeah. No, I love how Trump positions himself there as the defender of civility and morality, it seems. No name calling. Trump would never call anyone any names, right? So certainly you shouldn't be calling anyone names at his campaign stops. All right, let's check the other side. Biden, he got a lot of flack for this yesterday, and there's kind of a funny update on this one. I found this one really amusing. Biden was speaking to, well, who's he speaking to here in this? It was called the North American Building Trades Unions National Legislative Conference. Whew, that's a mouthful. He was speaking to a bunch of union guys. And he was reading off a teleprompter. That's not unique to Biden. Every single person who runs for the office of president, you will use a teleprompter at some point. They're giving long, long speeches day after day after day, and this happens. But Biden read his maybe a little bit too faithfully.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Four more years. Four more years.
Four more years. Pause. Originally, so the White House, this was kind of interesting. The White House puts out a transcript anytime a president gives a speech. And, you know, this incident was no different, except, and my ears might be tricking me. It sure sounds like he says pause there, but the White House transcript originally said that that was inaudible. They couldn't tell what he said. So in the transcript, it says four more years, and then they omitted pause and they just put inaudible. I don't know. Listen to it yourself. Does it sound like he says pause?
Four more years. Pause.
It sounds like he says pause. I guess this got spread around the internet, as it tends to do. And they have now updated the White House transcript, and now it includes pause. So don't worry. Everyone knows that he says pause.
Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
Who typed a question mark on the teleprompter? For the last time, anything you put on that prompter, Burgundy will read.
Burgundy will read. All right, we got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights. Go to commercial.